Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Hey, pet friends! Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. Some say I'm elusive, but I'm right here. You can't see me very well, you know, because of the whole murky waters thing and all. That's just my brand. I am your host, Nessie, and with me is my co-host, who is not a giant elusive sea monster.
No, I'm just an echo. You've probably heard me before.
Today, we're talking about a topic that can be scary for any dog owner. It's more commonly known as bloat. It's a condition that can come on quickly and be life-threatening if not treated immediately. We'll dive into what bloat is, signs to look for, what you can do to prevent it. We're not here to scare you, but to empower you with knowledge to recognize symptoms and act fast. Because with bloat, every minute counts.
Yes. Have you had a lot of experience with bloat at your clinic? Do you see it often?
We have seen it several times, all the way back to when I started in kennels. It's me having two labs.
Have either of yours who had
deep-chested labs? No, but I've always been very paranoid about it ever since they were puppies, and so I have planned my life around it.
My first job that I ever had was at a boarding kennel inside of a local veterinary clinic when I was 15. And one time we had these two dogs that were boarding together, and one was friendly and the other one wasn't. And the mean dog was some sort of black lab mix, Molly. But every time that I would walk by Molly's kennel, she would run up to the front of it and bark, 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 bark. You know, and she'd give you that side eye, you know, the one that says, like, oh, I'm gonna bite you. I could feed her and I could give water to the kennel when she was on the other side. But the manager was actually the one that walked her because, you know, they didn't want any of us teenagers getting bit by this dog. One evening, it was right before I left, and I was just walking through the kennels, making sure everyone was okay. And she was kind of like hunched and kind of hugging the back of her kennel. Like, she'd looked at me, but not like with her crazy eyes, and she wasn't barking. And it was just weird. So I went to the manager and I was like, hey, something's wrong with Molly. The manager went over and started like feeling her belly. And I was just like, ooh, that dog's going to bite you. And she didn't. But then the next day I worked, the manager told me that Molly had had bloat and she had needed emergency surgery. And I remember that so clearly because I was 15 years old and she goes, you saved that dog's life. And I thought to myself, I want to do more of that.
That's an important moment. Yeah.
It was a very important moment. Yeah.
Good job.
I had no idea what was going on. I was just like, that dog's not mean, so clearly something is wrong.
Yeah, it has like a certain look on x-ray when we take them. We call it like the Smurf hat.
The Smurf hat?
Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like the little hat that a Smurf would wear, like from the TV show.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a pretty distinct pattern. So whenever it pops up on the x-ray screen, we all go,
whoa.
We send them to VRC if we have a dog that's stable enough, because we don't have the overnight capabilities.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
They need constant monitoring.
Name the dog breed that is at the highest risk of developing GDV.
Great Dane.
Yes, it is. Any other common breeds to get GDV?
Labradors.
Mm-hmm.
German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Dobermans. The really deep-chested breeds.
Yes, a lot of setters can get it. St. Bernards, Weimers, Basset Hounds, anything like that. Old English Sheepdog was on the list too. Would you like a fact?
I love facts.
Okay. Dogs weighing over 100 pounds have approximately a 20% risk of bloat during their lifetime.
100 pounds?
Isn't that crazy?
Huh.
It's like one in five.
Huh.
Let's start with talking about the difference between general bloat versus GDV. So general bloat just when the stomach fills with air, fluid, or food, and it causes simple gastric dilation, right? So while it's not a life-threatening emergency, when a stomach bloats like this, it does get stretched many times its normal size, which does cause tremendous abdominal pain. Do you have a Nessy Defi for GDV?
Yeah, I suppose I do. My tum hurts.
My tum hurts. Yes. What does GDV stand for?
The gastric dilation volvulus.
Yeah. And so basically what happens there is that for reasons that we don't understand, the distended stomach starts to rotate, twisting between 180 and 270 degrees. And it cuts off not only its own blood supply, but the only escape for the air, fluid, or food that is trapped inside. So this is the life-threatening emergency that requires urgent surgery to correct. So why then is GDV an emergency? So this distended, twisted stomach, it presses on the diaphragm and breathing becomes labored. It also presses on the caudal vena cava. Do you have a Nessy Defi for the caudal vena cava?
You really need it because it takes the blood to your heart.
Yeah. It's the huge abdominal vein that is responsible for carrying blood back to the heart. So it presses on the caudal vena cava, and this reduces cardiac output and it decreases oxygen delivery to the tissues throughout the body, which is hypoxia. And this often results in cardiac arrhythmias, which are abnormal heartbeats. So the pressure of the gas or the fluid or the food or whatever's in there on the stomach
wall. You give me abnormal heartbeats.
I have heard that, PBCs? Is that the right one? Feels like your heart is fluttering, like a little flutter.
Well, then either you do that to me or I should see a cardiologist.
We will talk about PVCs a little later in the episode here. But the pressure from all of the contents in the stomach wall results in inadequate circulation to the wall. It causes necrosis or tissue death within the stomach. And then digestion ceases and toxins begin to accumulate in the blood and the body starts to go into shock. And then as the stomach continues to swell, the stomach wall can also rupture. So a lot of scary things can happen, which is why we say it's an emergency. The spleen, which is located near the stomach, frequently it will twist as well, which can lead to significant internal bleeding. This condition is one of the most life-threatening, non-traumatic conditions that is seen in dogs. And emergency veterinary care is required to save the dog's life. And with that, let's have a happy, tearful review.
Weird segue. Okay. Well, what is our theme going to be?
So I thought we should have the cast of a hospital drama. So I asked you your favorite medical show and you picked Scrubs.
What a wonderful choice. I chose, in the interest of our episode topic today, that we should review food bowls. I did mostly slow feeder bowl, that kind of thing. And people have so much to say. Like, I'm so excited about these reviews.
Really? All right.
Yes. Who's our first one from?
Oh, JD, of course.
Oh, obviously. Well, this product, I have three reviews on this same bowl that were just everything we needed.
Okay.
It is the Elevated Dog Bowl Slow Feeder No Spill Water Bowl. Dog bowl adjust to 5 different heights for small, medium, large dogs in black.
Okay. Looks like a normal raised food bowl set.
Yes. So our first review from JD is going to take us on a ride. I'm going to need you to buckle up, okay? Bear with me.
Okay. All right.
1-star verified purchase called Do Not Waste Your Money.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love these.
I purchased this bowl, which I absolutely loved everything about. However, then I noticed that water gets stuck in the capsulated area of the water bowl. I reached out to the seller about this, and they gave me a terrible excuse of this with a quote, some anti-mold features, and that I should clean my bowl. I clean this bowl 3 times a day. And to me, that is not acceptable. When dealing with your fur babies, you don't want some anti-mold, in quotation mark, features. I will be returning this and purchasing from another seller since they are not willing to replace the part so I can make it seal before I put water in it. My suggestion is definitely sealing the water bowl somehow before you purchase it, if you purchase it.
So I don't understand what the problem is.
The no spill bowl is trapping water somewhere.
Where?
She's afraid of mold. It says the encapsulated area, which I don't know what that is. But the fact that she's like, I clean my bowl 3 times a day, I think is a lie.
Oh, I was going to be like, that's crazy. 3 times a day is too much.
Yeah, no. I mean, okay, so maybe she does, but maybe because their letter to her was like, hey, our bowls have anti-mold features. Clean your bowl more. And she's like, I clean it 3 times a day. So either she felt bad because she's been being dirty and it's her fault that her dog has moldy water bowl. Or
that's not
she's like, it can't be me. I do it 3 times a day.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel like JD, really, you're a doctor, Cirque. I don't think you have time to clean your bowl 3 times a day.
No, I don't think so.
And then at the end where she's like, my suggestion is definitely sealing the water bowl somehow before you purchase it, if you purchase it. So do you like send them a sealant and you're like, hey, I'm about to buy a water bowl from you. Could you seal it with this before I pay for it?
It sounds like he's suggesting that they seal their bowls before selling them. That's what's confusing me, is what are we sealing? Also, like, I want to know more about this anti-mold property. What does that mean?
I don't know. Very confusing review.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Went all over the place. I am feeling so far off of this one review that I'm not convinced I shouldn't buy this bowl. I'm going to send them my own adhesive and like, hey, I would like to buy a bowl from you. Could you please seal it with this?
And see what happens. I also don't understand how you can have an anti-spill bowl. Like, I understand you can have a bowl that your dog can't knock over. Samantha Carter drinks water, and then when she looks up, it all just falls out of her jowls. Mm-hmm. So, like, an anti-spill bowl would do nothing for me.
No, because she's not trying to tilt her bowl over. She's just
no
carrying water in the receptacles of her mouth.
Yeah, well, it's more like she's leaking.
I mean, we do have a couple more reviews on the product that we can use before we gauge our final decision.
Good deal. So there are other conditions that can present similar to bloat, like if there's a ruptured abdominal tumor. So if you are needing a diagnosis, x-rays are the way to confirm. And once you get that diagnosis, ECG monitoring is pretty critical upon presentation as well. I don't think we've talked much about ECGs. I feel like that's something everybody knows.
An electrocardiogram?
Yep. It just measures the electrical activity of the heart. Because there is an especially dangerous type of arrhythmia that can present in association with GDV, and it is called a PVC. Kind of what we were talking about earlier. Do you have a Nessie Deffy for a PVC? Please don't say pipe.
You ruined everything.
I know you.
Yeah. Just plumbing pipe, actually. You can use it to make a lot of great crafts. I've seen people use PVC pipe to do some crafting or woodworking. So no?
Okay. No, not that. PVCs are premature ventricular contractions. It's like an extra heartbeat that begins in the lower ventricles instead of in the upper atria. So if this arrhythmia is noted at the beginning of treatment for GD, there is a 38% mortality rate for that dog. Sometimes this arrhythmia isn't even noted until like the next day. So continual ECG monitoring can be required, which follows a lot with what you were saying about when you guys get a GDV case, how you try, if they're stable, to send them to the local ER, because yeah, they definitely need a lot of close monitoring. So let's talk about how we get stabilized for this condition. Shock, it must be treated immediately. So using intravenous fluids and emergency medications are going to be important. Additional IV medications will often include like pain medication, electrolytes, lidocaine, and antibiotics. IV fluids are really important because when fluids are given to the dog intravenously, meaning they go directly into a vein, they go directly into blood circulation, this is a critical step to the life-saving process because they are replacing the blood that cannot get past the bloated stomach to return to the heart. The heart needs blood, right? So if there's not enough volume of blood circulating through the body, that's low blood pressure, that causes the heart to beat faster in an attempt to get what blood there is out to the tissues that need the blood supply. So this makes the heart race, which is what we call tachycardia, and it can result in heart failure. So IV fluids are critical. Electrolytes, also necessary for transmitting electrical impulses in nerves and muscles, including the heart. Lidocaine, I think most people are probably familiar with lidocaine for its numbing properties, but it does also work to correct life-threatening cardiac arrhythmias during shock as well. And then antibiotics, of course, those could be used to prevent infection or spread of infection. If the tissue has started to necrose or die from the lack of blood supply, that can cause sepsis. Some dogs that experience severe bleeding may require a blood transfusion as well. Your veterinarian is going to have kind of the steps to start with. You know, they might first attempt to pass a stomach tube. And if this is not possible due to the twisting of the stomach, they could use a large bore needle or a catheter through, it's called trocarization, through the skin into the stomach to relieve the pressure in the stomach.
They also do that in cows.
Oh, okay. Do cows get bloat?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I really don't know a whole lot about large animal.
Well, who's our next review from anyway? Dirk. Okay. We're hitting up the surgery crew. This is going to be for that same standing bowl. It's another one-star review. And Turk said, small bowl. Ah! Said it. Moen, that's the name of the review. It gets better. Okay. Bowls are small. All capitals, so you know he meant to exaggerate that. If you have a product that height adjusts to 12 inches, it would make sense the dog would be large. I have to fill the water bowl very frequently and the food bowl often. So frustrating. How much food are you giving your dog?
I know. If you keep the bowl, I mean, gotta be a grazer, right?
Food bowl often, but I can't help but imagine that a grazing dog, they just always seem to be obese. So this could be for your dog's own good. Because
that's a good point.
I later have another review with a picture that I'm going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that people are vastly overestimating how much food their dogs need.
Oh, no. We should send them our episode on obesity.
Or an actual measuring cup.
Not the kind you get from Mardi Gras. I remember what you said.
Yeah. So anyway, Turk is probably feeding his dog out of a big gulp cup.
Not good, Turk. Get a measuring cup. Look at what the recommended food dose. Yeah.
Get it together.
So let's talk about surgery and recovery for GDV and what that looks like. The primary goals of surgery are to return the stomach to its normal position, to remove any dead or dying stomach tissue, and to help prevent future GDV. So there are several different techniques that can be used, but the most common is gastropexy, which is what?
Where you tack the stomach lining to the muscles of the abdomen so that it can't turn over on itself.
And you just did one?
Yes, we did one recently on a Great Dane. Yeah, so a lot of times when Great Danes come in for their neuter, the gastropexies at the same time, just so that we're not doing multiple surgeries.
Yes. So your veterinarian will determine the most appropriate technique or combination of techniques for your pet's condition. And sometimes a spleen will need to be removed if it has been significantly damaged by the twisted and bloated stomach. Survival depends on many factors, including how long the pet has had GDV, the degree of shock, the severity of the condition, any cardiac problems, the stomach wall necrosis, and the length of the surgery itself. So even in relatively uncomplicated cases, there is a mortality rate of 10 to 45% for GDV. So factors that affect the outcome include heart arrhythmias that were present at the time of diagnosis, the need to remove part of the stomach, the need to remove the spleen, and elevated blood levels of lactate. So lactate is a byproduct of cellular metabolism when the body doesn't have enough oxygen. So lactate is bad. Blood is what brings oxygen to the tissues throughout the body. So in the case of GDV, the body wouldn't have gotten enough oxygen if a large portion of the blood supply had been cut off. So gastropexy reduces the risk of recurrence of GDV to as low as 3 to 5%. Compared to a recurrence rate as high as 80% without it. Isn't that crazy?
I can see where that is. I don't think I've heard of a single GDV that hasn't had a pexy done.
Same. Again. Without medical or surgical intervention, GDV is fatal. The survival rate with medical and surgical intervention is greater than 80%. Now, it does say, though, that dogs that require the removal of the spleen or portions of the stomach may have a more guarded prognosis. In 1993, there was a study done in Germany on GDV conducted by the School of the Veterinary...
Hard Knot Life?
Did you say Hard Knot Life? Because that is absolutely hilarious.
You know, the school...
The stomach is all knotted up.
It's a hard knot life for us.
Yes.
Should it stop eating? You got sick. Now your stomach is all flipped.
Nice.
That's it.
That was great. Beautiful. So this study was done by the School of Veterinary Medicine in Hanover, Germany. It involved 134 dogs that came into the hospital with GDV. In that study, 10% died or were euthanized just prior to surgery. The factors involved included the expense of treatment and the severity or advancement of the condition. 33 dogs were treated with decompression and not surgery. And of those dogs, 8 of them died or were euthanized within the next 48 hours due to poor response to treatment. And 6 of those 8 had actually rebloated. Of the dogs that did not have surgical treatment but did survive to go home, 76% had another episode of GDV eventually. So that kind of goes along with what we were just looking at too. Of 88 dogs were treated with both decompression and surgery. Of those dogs, 10% of them died in surgery. 18% died in the week after surgery, and 72% went home in good condition. And then of the dogs that went home in good condition, only 4 had a second episode of bloat later in life. In this study, 66% of the bloated dogs were male and 33% were female. Most dogs were between age 7 and 12. So this was Germany in 1993. So the German Shepherd dog and the Boxer were the ones at greatest risk for bloating than any other breeds in that study. Now, I feel like a German Shepherd dog probably would be more popular in Germany, but is a Boxer a German breed?
It is.
Well, that makes sense then. Another study that was published in December of 2006 looked at 166 dogs that received surgery for GDV. And the point of this study was to identify factors that led to poor prognosis. So 16% mortality rate was observed, and mortality rate for dogs over 10 years old was 21%. And 34 out of 166 had...
Sorry to interrupt you. I was curious because I also thought Great Dane was German.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
It's weird that it wasn't one of their popular breeds. That threw me off. I was like, wait a minute. Maybe they're just not popular to own.
Maybe they weren't in 1993.
I don't see a whole bunch of them today either. So. You see far more German Shepherds and
Boxers. We see lots of Boxers. Yeah.
So it would make sense.
Yeah. Also, as a toddler in 1993, so I really wasn't paying.
Okay, let's calm down.
You were in second grade? First grade?
I was doing my best out there. Yeah.
All right, let's just go to a review.
Okay. Let me see. This is on that same elevated dog food bowl. This is our last review, so we're going to decide whether or not we're going to buy this bowl after that.
Okay. All right.
This
I am
going to be from.
Ready. Elliot.
All right. Elliot also left a 1-star review.
The whole cast hated it.
And it is called Flimsy and Unstable.
Oh.
Dog knocked it over and now she's afraid to eat.
I mean, that actually sounds like an Aussie to me.
Yeah. Like, are you scared of every dog bowl now? Are you scared of the food itself? Like, what's going on here?
What did it say? She bumped it or knocked it over?
She knocked it over and now she's afraid to eat.
Well,
it's also not the bowl's fault.
It's not the bowl's fault. That's just what happens when you have an anxious dog.
You're assuming it's Aussie then?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So of our three reviews, we had... This person is upset because her dog knocked over her food bowl and now she's scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
The last person said it was not big enough. He had to fill it too many times with dog food.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person said that he had to clean his bowl 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these just kind of sound like user error. So let's say that the product is not faulty, but the... What is the word I'm looking for? The execution was poor.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also have very, like, aggressive eaters. So my dogs will destroy their food in seconds. And so I could not use a bowl that anyone ever said could be flimsy.
Yeah.
Flimsy doesn't make it in my house.
No, definitely not.
So let's talk about risk factors. Any dog can get GDV, but it is far more commonly seen in deep-chested dogs, like you've been saying this whole time. So let's define what deep-chested means. I hate to ask, do we have a Nessie Deffy for deep-chested? And remember, it's a family show.
Here's going to be the best way I can explain. Do your chest hang low? Do it trend down to the flow. Does that abdomen tuck up high? I'll leave it there. I won't take it too much further.
That's yes. So the length of the chest from backbone to sternum is going to be relatively long in deep-chested dogs, but the chest width from right to left is narrow. Think about your sight hounds, your setters, your German Shepherds, Weimers, Doberman Pinschers, Great Danes. Those are the type of dogs that are deep-chested. They are going to be predisposed to GDV. Other common risk factors... I was looking at 3 different articles and they all kind of said the same thing. So feeding one large meal at a time is going to be more of a risk factor. Having a family history of bloat with like 1 degree of familial relationship having suffered. So if a parent or another sibling from the same litter, like that is going to increase the risk for GDV in your dog. If your dog eats rapidly, if they are thin or underweight, if they are fearful or anxious or have a nervous temperament. One article said if they have a history of aggression towards people or other animals, and I could not find that repeated anywhere else, and it did not explain why that would be a factor, but I thought it was interesting. Possibly it was going for food aggression, which would then kind of go with rapid eating, possibly. That's the only thing I can think of. All three of them said being middle-aged or older is the highest risk group. Two of the three said that if dogs that are fed dry dog foods that list some sort of oil as the first, within the first four label ingredients. I couldn't really find a whole lot more on why oil in the first four ingredients was a big bad thing. So we kind of broached the topic in our OBC episode about ingredients. We didn't talk too much about it, but I would like to learn more about why that is. But causes for GDV, like the exact cause, is unknown. Although exercise before or after eating a large meal or drinking a lot of water can increase risk. There have been some recent studies that said that dogs that were relaxed and calm were at lower risk of developing GDV than dogs that were described as hyper or fearful. Numerous predisposing factors have been investigated with very inconsistent results. Some studies have identified a possible genetic predilection to developing GDV. Illnesses that decrease intestinal motion can also lead to stomach dilation and subsequently volvulus. So how do you prevent it? The easiest and fairly common prevention is for high-risk dogs to get a prophylactic gastropexy with their spay or neuter, just like you were saying earlier. Dogs with a first-degree relative that developed GDV should not be used for breeding. Feeding adjustments, you know, offer two or more meals per day with smaller kibble. Feeding a dry food that is calcium-rich, like lamb meal, fish meal, chicken byproduct meal, meat meal, bone meal, any of those that are listed in the first four ingredients. Limit activity before and after meals. And two of the three articles said to avoid raised food bowls. I remember learning when I was like first getting into the veterinary field that raised food bowls were supposed to help prevent bloat. But two of these articles that I read this week said to avoid raised food bowls.
I've heard it both ways as well. So I can't say yay or nay to either.
Yeah. Neither of the articles that I read explained why that was important. When I first read it, I was like, that must be a typo. And then I read it in a second one and I was like, oh, maybe it's not. So I'd like to look more into things like that. Do you want to do another review?
Yes, we can. Who is this one from?
Carla.
I love her.
She's fantastic.
This one is for a 1 gallon no-spill water bowl for dogs, BPA-free, spill-proof, non-slip mat, no-splash show drinking dog water for the messy drinker.
It looks like a Tupperware with a hole in it.
Yeah.
How are they supposed to get it?
I don't know. But I do have a 1-star review here from Carla that says it's not worth it.
Okay.
This is a lie. It says your fur baby will no longer slop his or her water slobber, but this is farther from the truth as my cane Corso still slobs it everywhere after taking a drink.
How can a product say that they can prevent your dog from slobbing their water?
This says no splash, right? It doesn't say that it's going to keep your dog from slobbering water out of your mouth.
Okay. That's more reasonable. I was just like, how can a bowl say that? It's not the bowl that said that. It's the owner.
Yeah. She just misunderstood. She like, my cane Corso still gets drool all over me. This water bowl lied.
Listen, have you seen the jowls on a cane Corso?
I have. Yeah.
They are very floppy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to slob water everywhere. That's what they do.
Does not matter what water bowl you use.
All Mastiffs. The cane Corso is an Italian Mastiff. Any Mastiff.
Yes.
They are going to slob. Yep. You've got a Mastiff. What do you want?
Your water bowl decision has nothing to do with this.
No. No, it doesn't.
That's so foolish.
It was a nice try. She just wants her dog to stop sprilling, because I don't think that's really a word. Spreading. Let's try spreading the drool water everywhere after drinking. Teach your dog to wipe his face on the...
I'd like that. Ooh, maybe I can teach Sam to wipe her face on a towel after she drinks, because I'm telling you, there's where my water bowl is in the house. It's a huge water bowl, and it is right next to the doorway between my bedroom and the dining room. And I'm telling you, every time I walk through that doorway, my feet get wet. And it's just something I live with now. But ooh, if I could teach her to do that, I would love that. That would be great.
It would be.
I'm going to have to think about it.
Yeah. I saw some videos of people who just set a towel next to the water bowl, and they've taught their dog. After they're done with the water bowl, the dog just like touches his face to the towel.
I love that. That's not hard. And Sam is very smart.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a try.
I can do this.
Check back in with me next time to see if I actually got it.
We'll like a video for our TikTok if you seem to nail it.
Ooh, yes. Yeah. All right.
Let's take a break here, friends. But don't stray too far. Nessie and Echo will be right back.
Ho, ho, ho.
This is Santa, by the way.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye. And 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests. And they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
I got one more thing to cover. Let's talk about signs to look for. For bloat or for GDV. So a dog is going to appear distressed or restless. They will be salivating and panting profusely. They're going to have trouble breathing. They're going to retch without producing anything. They're going to be listless and pacing. They could have pale gums. You might see them in what's called the praying position, which is where the forelimbs extend forward. Their chest is a bit closer to the ground. Collapse is a common symptom that people can see once it gets to a more advanced stage. Sometimes they're unable to stand. Their abdomen may also appear swollen or bloated. This is most obvious on the left side. Gentle tapping of the swelling just behind the last rib will often produce a hollow drum-like sound. And a distension of the abdomen is more difficult to notice on dogs that are well-muscled or overweight. So if you see any of those earlier signs, definitely call your regular vet, call the emergency vet. Know where your local emergency vet is located. So I kind of live a little bit out in the sticks. So the closest emergency veterinarian is 40 minutes away. But I know exactly how to get there, just in case I ever need to just pack up and go. How far is Virk from you?
Maybe a little bit less than 20 minutes.
Okay. That's nice. And then I did kind of have a question of like, do other animals get bloat or GDV? Which you already answered because you said cows get it. So that was new to me. I did go to DVM360, which we are familiar with thanks to our friend, Dr. Adam Chrisman. But there's an article on there and it did say that GDV can occur in human and non-human primates, cats and guinea pigs as well.
You know, I recently learned that it
can happen in cats, but it's very rare. Because we had some weird cat x-rays and they were like, is this the elusive cat GDV? It turns out, no, it was cancer. They wound up sending out for radiography interpretation and they came back and they were like, oh, there's cancer in this area and this area and this area. And that's why it doesn't make sense.
I get it. You want to do one last review for the road?
I do. Now, as I promised, this one has a picture. So I have this bowl. It comes in a couple of different colors. Their picture is of a black one. Who's it from?
This is going to be from the janitor.
How do you not have Dr. Cox on here?
I just like the janitor more.
I do like the janitor too. Okay, the janitor. It is called the Outward Hound Large Slow Feeder Bowl Puzzle Mat. Holds 4 cups of wet or dry food made with BPA purple. This is the one that I have for my dog.
That looks very similar to the one I have for Chetney.
But mine is large to hold 4 cups. I do not feed my dog 4 cups, but anyway.
Yeah.
So this review from the janitor is 1 star. And I'll show you the picture at the end, okay? Bowl does not hold 4 cups as advertised. This picture is with 3 cups. And as you can see, the 3rd cup doesn't even fit into the puzzle part. False advertising, waste of my time waiting for the bowl to arrive. See if I can blow this up. Okay. This is his 3 cups of food.
That looks like way more than 3 cups, man.
That is 3 big gulp size cups of food. So that is why I was trying to tell you with that other one, these people don't understand how much they're feeding. Yes, the bag said that your dog may need 3 cups of food, but they did not mean that because I have an actual measuring cup for food made by Science Diet. And I, to test this out, so I went ahead and I, for science, measured out 4 appropriately sized cups of food and they fit in the bowl. And they didn't look like that. Because as I said, I have the same bowl.
Yes. The janitor is clearly using the big gulps or the Mardi Gras cups or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, bad choice, janitor. Get a real measuring cup, man.
I can give you my own personal review on this bowl. It's wonderful. It holds my dog's food in it just fine. She likes a little challenge.
You said Outward Hound was the brand?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the brand that I get. Chetney has the orange one, which is kind of a swirly pattern. I bought that right after I got him because when I got him from the rescue, they gave me a bunch of stuff, including a bowl. The first day I had him, I gave him a breakfast in that bowl, and he ate it so fast that he inhaled it, immediately regurgitated all of it. It was almost dry because he had just like swallowed it right back down. It landed in the bowl, so he ate it again, threw it up again,
nice.
Ate it again. And I was just like, I need a puzzle bowl for him. That's crazy. So I got the Outward Hound orange swirly one. I love that bowl.
He starts pre-digestion for his food that way. Makes it easier the second time around.
Gross.
Well, it's not me. It's him. Tell him. He was the one who thought that was a good idea.
It was disgusting, yeah. So I have the outro ready. Do you have anything that you'd like to say for the outro?
No, I'm fine with what you have. Yeah, I don't really have anything that I need to add.
That's all for today's episode. Before we go, we would love to hear from you. So if you come across any funny or ridiculous pet product reviews, send them our way. We might feature them in a future episode. And if you'd like us to cover a topic that matters to you, you know, maybe your pet just got a new diagnosis you'd like explained, or you've got a new puppy and you want to know about any health issues to watch for, you know, let us know. You can email us at letstalkpetspodcast@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook at podcast Let's Talk About Pets, Instagram at talkpetswithus _ in between each word, and TikTok is letstalkaboutpets. In between each word. All of this is also written in our show notes. We really, really enjoy hearing from our listeners, so feel free to send us your stories and your questions.
Actually, that does remind me, if you happen to do any cryptid sightings while you're out and about,
or you have an embarrassing story about a squirrel, you could also share those. I am always happy to know of a recent Nessie sighting. We also, of course, have our classic AI-generated song at the end of this episode. I tried to go for an Elvis theme for that last song at the end, but what it gave me was like that blues about like, don't leave your dog in the car. I did really enjoy that song. So that was what happened when I tried to make an Elvis style. So, you know, we'll see. But anyway, we'll have one at the end of this episode per the use, which means usually. You guys are smart cookies. You could have figured that out, I think. But anyway, that's all we got for you. Thank you for coming. Okay, bye.
Bye.
And hearts that please. Nessie and Echo bring cheer, smart tips and tricks for the year. Santa's sleigh and reindeer fly, but pets need care you can't deny. From ticks and fleas to healthy treats, here's how to make their life complete. Happy holidays to our pals. May your days be joyous and carefree. With cozy beds, gentle strokes on furry heads, playful hours chase away woes through all the highs and the lows. When the snow begins to fall, we gather close one and all, stories shared and laughter bright. Nessie and Echo light the night. Happy holidays to our pals. Days be joyous and carefree. See you in the new year with laughter ringing happily.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.